Well, here we are again. Things have kind of quieted down here in Georgia. Hasn't been a very, very exciting day because what's today? The March the 25th. All of us are kind of in this lockdown situation with this norovirus. And so we are trying to adapt, maintain somewhat of a position of sanity in it, and depending upon where you live, we've probably been at it for at least a week or so. We've seen the climate change from our normal everyday activities to one where it became a little more restricted. It became a little more less of the daily routine that we have, and now we are being boxed up like a box of cookies and told to stay in the box, our home or whatever it is. And I started thinking, well, geez, this sucks. But then again, I started looking at it again and thinking about something I had talked to somebody some time ago, and they were questioning me about what retirement was really like. And I said, well, it's independent for every individual, couple, people, but it has certain patterns. And as this situation we're in with this pandemic, I sat down and I started to think. I said, well, this is really kind of just like retirement. And somebody said, like what? I said, well, here's what happens. Normally, when we retire, get to that particular point in time that we take the time off, there's a pattern of things that we do. We will go on the cruises. We will visit relatives, as I have said before. And we'll get those things out of the way, or moving around. And then one day, maybe 2-3 months after we've had our gadabouts and our walkabouts, we get home and we wake up one morning, which is not a bad thing, don't knock it, and here we are. What are we going to do for today? Well, in some cases, we've gotten up out with the girls to the tea or coffee, whatever it is, a meeting, gone a few places to do the shopping, and kind of got home and sat down and watched TV. And then we would get up maybe for lunch or go out and meet somebody and et cetera, et cetera. And we would have kind of a loose routine, but it was an active routine. As we are in this situation today, a lot of that has been taken away from us because of the severity of the norovirus contamination. We have to wait in space, stay home, stay without contact with other people, be very careful. What a really amazing, I didn't realize it. I was watching one day and the action are now in the supermarkets in the fight for toilet paper. Well, I mean, down south, the remedy that was before we got to our sophisticated area that we are now, we all had a Sears and Roebuck catalog in there for obvious reasons. But so now we're back to fighting over toilet paper. Whew. Wow, what a letdown. But let's take a look at how this is affecting you and me. I am a pretty active person. I usually have many things going on, moving around, and I'm out and about. As I say, myself having coffee with my friends, breakfast, out and getting to my daily routine of making the rounds of people, making calls on selling my book, Don't Retire to Expire, which I hope you have looked up and have gotten some idea of what this is all about. And I'll get into that in later items and issues and conversations. But I just want to say right now where this had hit me that we are in a position of being like someone who has just come off of that retirement sector, active retirement, in our home, and they wake up one morning and they don't have anything to do. And they look at each other and, as I say, turn on the TV, they sit down and they watch Judge Judy. And if they're still active, they'll get up and go walk for a while, because now I walk two or three times a week now around my subdivision because of the simple fact that they've closed the gyms. Well, that was an outlet for people. That was part of your routine, that you went to the gym two or three times a week, sometimes twice a day, and you kept yourself in shape. But you also kept in contact with a group of people who were like-minded, like yourself, exercise-minded, trying to keep their bodies and their minds kind of put together. And that was it. That is being withheld from us now because we can't go, or we aren't supposed to go. Or if we go, we're looking around, making sure we don't get close to anybody with all the workout equipment and surrounding people and the sweat and people huffing and puffing, lifting weights, et cetera, like that. They decided that that was not a healthy environment for us to be in, so they closed it. So that's one more thing that we can't do. Then we kind of look around. All right, let me feel that I used to like to read. But, okay, so I start reading again. For myself personally, I love to read. But then when it's the only thing you can do, it gets to be kind of one-sidedness. That you looking at something, you're not reading it because you're intellectually curious or to be entertained by it. You're reading because you've got nothing else to do, nothing else being planned. Let's go over to the other side of being in retirement. If you have not planned to do things after you have come off of your walkabout, your cruises, your playing golf, you're hitching up a RV and going across the country, and you've come home and you've kind of settled down, and what are you doing? What do you got to do? What plans have you got? Are you involved with any organizations, any churches? Are you involved with any charity organizations, schools that you can go render your services and help other people by just being there for people, just having something to do to maintain your contact? Because you find as you don't maintain those contacts, your ability to communicate drops off. And all of a sudden, you begin having to feel all alone. You don't have that outreach to reach people. And then what happens? You say, what am I going to do? And then it's got you. Well, have something to do. Start planning now for thinking about at least what it is you would do in this situation that you're in now, where you would have a lot more latitude in terms of things that you could choose, because you would not be held back by, you can't do this, you can't do that. But if you choose not to do this, you choose not to do that, you're isolating yourself and you're putting yourself in a position where things dry up very, very quickly. One of the things that I have always cherished, and I still do, and I have not been able to get kicked out of doing, is talking with my old friends. And it's not an unusual cycle for us to do that, because we talk regularly with old friends. And we share things, and we talk about things other than this norovirus. Hey, how's Hal? How's Joe? How's Mary? How's doing that? And we share moments of when we were back in those days, high school, wherever it was, college, if you were a college graduate. and we talk, but we have friends and we talk to our friends. And I have found that that's one of the greater pleasures I have in my life, is because at my age, which is 81, and people are disappearing from my life, friends have always been of great value to me. And even now they're of great value to me. And sometimes even a greater value, because I realize that some of us are not going to be here, and some of them are going to leave before I do, and I hope people will miss me if I go. And the bottom line is that we have not prepared ourselves for the long haul. And that's something that I talk about in my book, in terms of looking forward to having things to do. And as your life adventures change and abilities to move, mobility, et cetera, et cetera, have something ahead of you always to do. Have something planned that you can share with other people, that you can go and with groups of people. I have friends who, lady friends who go into the Y. They do these Y classes, pool classes, and they look forward to that 2 or 3 times a week. They go do it. The guys are playing golf, playing tennis, and then some are reading, some are libraries, in the libraries, and they have pets and stuff like that. In other words, they have something to keep them focused on living, doing, and being. One thing I can tell you, or not tell you, because that's not the right word, to have you look into what your future is going to be when you get to those particular points in time, that you have to have look around for activities to do. I'll have a lot more of that coming up forth, but right now, time's up. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you've liked what I have to say and that you'll come back. And I hope if you have messages for me or things that you would like to discuss, I'll be looking for people, as I say, to interview later on like that. And if you would like to be one of those, then please let me know and how I can contact you. And more importantly than anything, do the best you can, be the best you can, because you are the best. Signing off, Bob Bradshaw, Don't Retire to Expire. Have a great evening, have a great day, have a great life, because the only one we get. Well, here we are again. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning where I'm at here in near Atlanta, Georgia. And I sleep pretty well, except for I've been watching too much TV. And too much of it right now is kind of what you would call negative TV. Why it's called negative, in my mind, is that a shame that as big and as wonderful this country is, we have been reduced to this third-rate, how can I say, non-sophisticated, kill thy neighbor as opposed to love thy neighbor type of situation. And it makes no sense. Most of us who, including me who is recording this, have been around for a while. And unfortunately, we've seen this scene replayed over and over and over again to the point in time that is past being ridiculous. It's sorrowful. We have the greatest country in the history of the world. And I know you've heard that maybe too many times that it here is kind of trite, but it really isn't. We've built an economy. We've built a philosophy. And we've built a country that has never reached the heights that this country has reached. We are number one in the world in terms of economics, in terms of wealth, status, listening to ourselves and watching ourselves go down the tube. By what I mean, why are we doing this to our country? We've been involved in defending other countries, inviting ourselves into other countries, occupying other countries, waging war on other countries past Japan and Germany. And we've been there as policemen of the world. We have the nuclear weapons. We have the Air Force. We have the military, Marines, Coast Guard, Army, Navy, civilian components to responding to the needs of our country in time of war. And on behalf of our country and what we've done, we have destroyed countries and then had to rebuild them. We've had so many of our treasured men and women lost in the cause of defending other countries. And now, we still maintain a sense of righteousness. We maintain our technical ability to win wars when it didn't seem that we stood a chance. And then all of a sudden, here we are. Some of us, not necessarily, I heard about it though, this thing called the Depression, where our country was out of work, soup lines, no jobs, living in camps, makeshift camps, hobos traveling the rails because they didn't have a place to live unless it was in the back of a boxcar. And then came this period of time. And it's happened before. We should have learned something by now. But have we? We picture this. What country would outrightly attack the United States at this point in time? They don't and they won't. We have words and we have threats. And we have relationships that kind of seem tedious, but nobody has really challenged. We have not had, other than 9/11, which we all remember, and we remember how devastating that was to us, nobody has attacked us on our soil. Why? Because they know the retaliation that would come from that attack. Would mean possibly annihilation of their whole country. We play with the imams, the people who would love to kill us, and they rattle their sabers and they threaten, but they don't. But here, our country has been brought to its knees. We are in our Great Depression. We have a political force on both sides that is spending not millions, not thousands, but trillions of dollars. And they're asking for more. And where is this going? More importantly, how are we going to pay it back? Because we are going to have to pay it back. I don't know how much $1 trillion is. I can't even imagine it. But when they're talking about no longer billions, no longer millions, but trillions of dollars in spending to keep our economy afloat, and we're up to our necks, and you know, when you get up to your necks in water, you hope everybody understands one thing: don't make a wave. Well, we're making our own wave. My God, how dumb can we be? And my point is, this whole condition we find ourselves in, sitting probably at the bottom of all that we have ever achieved, and looking up to see the bottom, this was done without anybody firing a shot. Now, we have our conspiracy theories as to the world order. And we have plenty of people who really believe that this is happening. And the unfortunate thing is, we can't say it isn't happening. So what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? My name is Bob Bradshaw. You're listening to Don't Retire to Expire. And unfortunately, we're not talking too much about retirement at this point in time. But I have had to talk about this because it bothers me so much. I've come up in this country and had tremendous opportunities. I came up with in a school in New Rochelle, New York. And as a matter of fact, I just had conversations with two of my fellow students from the year of 1957, when we graduated. And we're still talking to each other. We treasure the relationships we have with our friends. And during the years, they're what I call the Beaver Cleaver years. We believed in this country. Our parents before us who had gone to New Rochelle High School in New Rochelle, New York, had gone before us and set the path and the pattern of getting to know each other and functioning as a high school. Today, I don't think it could function because it was very, very mixed. There were those who lived in the North with the wealthy parents and business class. There were those who lived over on the hill who lived in the projects, as they were called at that time, and City Park projects. And I myself lived in West New Rochelle off of Union Avenue. And one of my buddies, who I grew up next door to, Hal Whistle, we stayed on the phone for almost 2.5 hours the other day, just reminiscing, just talking, just being thankful that we're still here. And then there's this guy by the name of Ken Blanchard, who has been a friend of mine and was my best friend in high school in 1957 and still is my best friend and is the reason and the inspiration for me writing this book called Don't Retire to Expire. And it's on Amazon and eBay. Take a look and see what you think about it. It's not about retiring from the standpoint of view of financial, but the necessity of planning your retirement and going forward with your planning and having a plan and a direction of where you're going. My motto is, once you wake up, everything else is optional. The biggest thing I can tell you, and I don't kid about it, is the experience of waking up. Because if you don't wake up, what else have you got? I'll be quiet for right now and go away. If you are hearing this, and if you tune in, please leave me a message on this board where you can let me know what you think about it. We'll get back to the retirement section of life and living, because we will live and we will keep going and expanding our lives and rebuilding what we feel we have lost. And you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to get it done. Bob Bradshaw, Don't Retire to Expire, saying good morning to you. And make sure you have a great day, the rest of this day.